All right. Late beginning may cause late ending, maybe. All right. Shall we begin with a word of prayer? Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, thank you for this day, Lord's Day, first day of the week, where we could come around the person of Jesus Christ and to remember one who has remembered us in our Lord's Day. And after that, thank you so much for talking to us through thy servant of God very intimately. We are here again with thy word. Open our hearts and minds to see the precious truths from thy scripture, for that we commit each and every one to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for listening our prayers. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray. Thank and praise God for this blessed opportunity God has given us to come together to learn from the scripture. This morning, I'm truly thankful for the message. I felt that is exclusively tailored for me. Praise God. I'm not a big fan of continuing a study after a few weeks or a few months. It is because we all have a habit of forgetting things. But this time, if you forgive me, I wanted to pick up from where I stopped last time. I know that it's been many months, and some of the dear ones were not here at that time. So I wanted to take a minute or two to recap what we had done last time, then we will take it from there. Last time I was talking about the grace of God, if you remember. When we say the word grace, it is a broad term. There are many meanings for that. Based on the situations, the meaning will change. So we have gone through four different instances to prove that the meaning will change based on the situation. Even this morning, we heard about that. So then after that, we have very specifically looked into Titus chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. Titus chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. Three verses. Verse 11 talks about the sustaining grace, saving grace. Verse 11 talks about the saving grace. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, saving grace. Whereas verse 12 talks about the sustaining grace. Sorry, okay. Verse 12 talks about the sustaining grace. Verse 12 starts with the word training, teaching. The grace of God teaches us to say yes when it is required, and also the grace of God teaches us to say no when it is required. The grace of God teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. At the same time, the grace of God teaches us to say yes to three things. The grace of God teaches us to say, to be self-controlled, to be upright, and to be godly. When this should happen? This should happen in the present age. In the present age. More specifically, at the age of dispensation of grace, it should happen now. If salvation was a passport to take you to heaven, if that was the only purpose, God could have saved us 2 minutes before our death. How nice it was. We shouldn't deal with any of this. But no, that's not how it is. We have to go through all of this, exercise all of this, and exhibit these characteristics in our life so that others may know what is grace of God. So verse 11, saving grace. Verse 12, sustaining grace. When it comes to verse 13, that is glorification. Glorification. The grace of God helps us to watch and wait upon the coming of the Lord. That is verse 13. So, verse 11, saving grace. Verse 12, sustaining grace. Verse 13, glorification. That is glorification. So, in these three words, we can see threefold nature of salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification. We wanted to expand on this in the next few weeks. I will be bringing the same slide on the third day of our series. It is because I want to talk about more about sanctification on that day. But this morning, in order to build a really good foundation for that, I want to talk about the greatness of salvation. Greatness of salvation. It is because if you don't know the greatness of salvation, we cannot truly appreciate, we cannot truly appropriate the value of salvation. Or we cannot truly appreciate the work of triune God in the process of salvation. So this morning I want to talk about the greatness of salvation. For that I wanted to read from Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading this whole passage later, but I wanted to read verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It is a question. The answer is not given there. As a reader, it is our responsibility to formulate an answer for this. So I wanted to continue with the same verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? While I was in middle school, I remember that before I'm getting ready for my exams, my mom always used to tell me that, be careful with questions. So why should I be careful with my questions? Because I'm going there to write my answers. I'll be careful with my answers. No, that's not how it is. We need to take time to read and understand the question, then only we'll be able to answer to the question. Now here is a question. Did we understand this question? Truthfully, it was a little difficult for me. It is because of a couple of terminologies here. Number one, neglect. Negligence. What is the meaning of that? We will come to that in a minute. The second biggest problem there, such a great salvation. So great salvation. What is the meaning of that? We will look into that. Let's begin with the word neglect. Negligence. Just imagine, I wanted to bring a small illustration here. Just imagine two brothers, brother A and brother B. Both were here for the worship meeting, Sunday morning worship meeting. After the first session, brother A decided to leave for whatever reasons. Brother A left. Now brother B decided to continue here for the Bible study session. And he was trying to pay attention. Then later he found that, you know, book of Hebrews, you know, kind of a prejudice in his mind. It's a hard, challenging book. And totally distracted. And the meeting is over. So just imagine in the evening I met both of them. I asked brother A, how did you benefit out of a Bible study session? So brother A will say, very easy answer, quick answer. I was not even there. Easy answer. Now, brother B, what do you think? So brother B will come back with the answer saying, you know what? I was there, but I don't know. Now tell me, who neglected the Bible study session? Brother A or brother B? I think brother B. You know why? Brother B has all the possibilities and opportunities, but take it lightly. Take it. So these are the dictionary meanings there. I don't know if it's clear enough. To be careless. They were paying no attention, no regard. Whereas brother A rejected. Brother B neglected. So we have to keep in mind that book of Hebrews is written for Hebrew believers, God's people, those who experienced salvation. If they reject salvation, that is a different deal. We know that. We are not talking about that. We are talking about those who neglected salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect salvation? All right. Let's come to the second portion. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So great salvation. How do we understand that? What is the depth of that? Probably in our human comprehension, we may not fully understand the depth of that. But let's try. We may get a glimpse of that. Such a great salvation. In order to understand that, we need to see the context of this verse. Verse 1 is the context of that. Let's read that. Verse 1. Therefore, we know when we see therefore what to do, right? We have to go back to chapter 1 and see what is happening in chapter 1. We'll go there in a minute. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. What is that? That is definitely chapter 1. So we need to pause here for a minute. We need to go to chapter 1 and see what is happening in chapter 1. Then we will come back here. But before that, I want to show you one important thing here. You must pay much closer attention to what you heard. Otherwise, what will happen? What will happen? Drift away. Probably a subject we need to study separately. I don't want to go into the detail of that, but I wanted to show you some consequence of that. Some consequence. When we come to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, that we read that, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. Someone is sleeping among the dead. Scary. In fact, disgusting, right? Someone is sleeping among the dead. Consequence of drift away. Is it happening among the believers? Is it happening in the church? If I say that, probably you may get offended. But when we come to Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, there we read that Lord is speaking to the church, Church of Sardis. We learned about this sometime back here. I know your works, period. I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Looks like it is irony. What is the meaning of that? You are good for nothing. But that's not what we read in John's Gospel chapter 10, verse 10. There we read that, I came here to give you life. You have abundant life. See the contrast there? Consequence of drift away. When we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, there we read that Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. I could not address you as spiritual people. I fed you with milk, not solid food. But you know what is the problem? Even now, you are not ready to take the solid food. Consequence of drift away. You must pay much closer attention to what you heard. Otherwise, you may drift back. Drift away. Now, let's pause here for a minute. Probably we'll look into a bigger picture of the book of Hebrews. Then we'll come to chapter 1. Book of Hebrews, 13 chapters. Very, very challenging book. If you wanted to say book of Hebrews in one word, that is an exhortation. It is an exhortation that we can see in chapter 13. These believers, Hebrew Christians, they are on the verge of backsliding. They're thinking of going back to Judaism because of whatever persecution or whatever situations are there. But the writer is trying to exhort them, to equip them to do the will of God. That is book of Hebrews. 13 chapters. I really, really like the division of this book. Like any other epistle, we can see that first 10 chapters are dedicated for doctrinal subjects. And last 3 chapters are dedicated for practical application. Now, I love this division. It is because we talk about doctrine a lot. I love doctrine. It is because I believe that without doctrine, we can't even say a sentence. Everything is doctrine. But we have to keep in mind that the doctrine what we speak, if that doesn't balance with the practical application, the doctrine what we speak, if that doesn't manifest in our life, the doctrine doesn't mean anything. But okay, when we come to the last 3 chapters, Hebrews 11, 12, and 13, practical application. It's a very, very familiar portion, right? Chapter 11. What is the subject of that? One word. Faith. Very good. You can answer. What is 12? Anybody? Chapter 12. I can give you a clue. Begins with a race. Looking into the author and perfecter of faith. We are running. Where are we running? We are running. Where are we running? We know that we are running. We don't know where we are running. We are running towards second to the last verse, chapter 12 is giving the answer. Second to the last verse of chapter 12. We are running towards a city that cannot be shaken. Right? We know that Abraham was a rich man, but he lived in tents. It is because he was looking forward for a city. The builder and architect is God. We are also looking forward for a city that cannot be shaken. So we are running, and we are running towards a city. So can we call it as hope? You hope that we reach there, right? So faith and hope. And if that is the situation, what is 13? What is 13? Brotherly love. See, look at that. You can see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 also. So faith, hope, and love. 3 Christian virtues are beautifully laid out in last 3 chapters. Very good. You know why? I assume that it is because if we don't have a deep conviction about these 3 Christian virtues, there is a possibility that you may drift away. Drift away. All right. Let's come to the first. We will come to the first portion, doctrinal side of the book. When we come to chapter 1, it starts like almost like a story. I love that beginning. You know, it's saying that long ago, long ago. It's almost like a story, right? Long ago, at sundry times and diverse manners, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. What did he speak? What was the subject? It was all about his son, all about his son. God the Father appointed him as the heir of all things. Through him he created the universe. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of God the Father. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. He made purification for the sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty. What a magnificent explanation about the Son of God, our Savior. What a magnificent explanation about the Son of God. Continuing on the same chapter, the author is giving every diligent effort to prove that Jesus Christ is greater than angels, the created being. In order to prove that, author brought forth the sevenfold manifestation of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. Explaining all that. Explaining all that. When it comes to chapter 2, when it comes to chapter 2, the author is saying that, look at him carefully. Look at the Savior carefully. You must pay much closer attention to what you heard. That's chapter 1. You must pay much closer attention to what you heard. Our salvation is so great, it is because, reason number 1, we have a great Savior. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have a great Savior that we can see in chapter 1. I wanted to go to the second reason. Second reason, Second reason we can see in verse 2 and verse 3. Verse 2 and verse 3. I wanted to read verse 2 and verse 3, but before we read that, you have to keep in mind that chapter 2, verse 2 is the conclusion of chapter 1. And also we have to keep in mind that chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3, these two verses, are the comparison of two covenants. Mosaic covenant and the new covenant. Two covenants. Let's read that. Let me explain that after reading that, okay? So chapter 2, verse 2. For since the message declared by angels. The message declared by angels. What is that? That is Mosaic covenant. Mount Sinai experience. When we read Exodus chapter 19, 20, 21, we can see that God gave them the law. God gave children of Israel the law. That's what he's talking about. When we read that portion, it's not very clear that who gave the... We know that God gave them the law. But when we read other portions, Acts chapter 7, verse 53, Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, when we come on those portions, we very clearly mention that it is handed over by angels. Handed over by angels. That's what we are talking about here. Since the message declared by angels, that is Mosaic covenant, proved to be reliable. What that means is, it was from God. It was true. It was from God. The message declared by angels, that was from God. That was true. And there was a judgment associated with that. What is that? Every transgression and disobedience, there was a punishment. Every transgression and disobedience, there was a punishment. Let me repeat that. The message declared by angels, that is Mosaic covenant, that was from God. It was true, that was from God. And every transgression and disobedience, there was a punishment. If so, if that is the situation, how shall we escape if we neglect new covenant? See the comparison there? How shall we escape if we neglect new covenant? What's the meaning of that? The meaning is that the new covenant has a greater judgment. The new covenant has a greater judgment. Our salvation is so great, it is because the second reason, our salvation, a new covenant has a greater judgment. Now, reason number three and four. I can see that in verse 3 and verse 4. Reason number 3 and 4. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4 three times in three different ways so that we'll get a better understanding here. All right. Number 1, I'm going to read the first time. It was declared first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to his will. All right. I'm going to read that one more time. This time I'm going to read a little different. The words are highlighted. It's a little different here. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, Jesus Christ, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God the Father, also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we can see here, triune God provided the salvation. God, Lord, Holy Spirit. Triune God. Our salvation is so great, it is because, third reason, it is provided by triune God. This is what we are going to expand in next 3 weeks. And we are going to see what are the different ways in which we can see the work of triune God. We know that in America, government or government agencies provide food and clothing for refugees or homeless people. They're getting it for free, absolutely free. It doesn't mean that no one worked for that, no one paid for that. Someone paid for that. We got our salvation absolutely free, by grace alone, by faith alone. Doesn't mean that no one paid. That's what we are going to study in the next 3 weeks. Our salvation is so great, it is because it is provided by triune God, whereas the old covenant handed over by angels. All right, the fourth reason. I'm going to read that a little bit different here. Same words we are going to read. I don't know, is that clear enough? I think it is not very clear enough, but I wanted to read that verse 3 and 4 one more time. This time I want to read a little more clear now. Okay, so I'm going to read this in a different order. You can see three colors there, red color, yellow highlight there, and the blue. And I'm going to read in a different order. Red first, yellow highlight second, then blue we are going to read. Okay. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And it was declared at first by the Lord. Declared at first by the Lord. The first preacher of the gospel. That is Jesus Christ himself. Where do we see that in the scripture? Where do we see that in the scripture? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Gospels. Right? Now I'm going to read the yellow highlight. God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Where do we see that? Acts. Acts of apostles. Actions of apostles. More specifically, accomplishments of apostles. Thanks to Eckhart. Hope you remember that. You know, fearful, intimidate disciples. You know, we can see at the beginning of Acts. Then when it comes to the end of Acts, they turn the world upside down. Wonderful story. That is Acts. Then, blue part. It was attested to us by those who heard. What is that? Epistles. So, Gospels, Acts, and Epistles. Right? We can see in this two verses. Right? Does it look like New Testament? Yes, it is New Testament. Our salvation is so great, it is because the story of redemption we got in the form of manuscript. Why did we get that in the form of manuscript? There is a possibility that we may forget about our salvation. That is the reason why we can see many reminders in the scripture. Do this in remembrance of me. Forget not all his benefits. Remember Lot's wife. Many reminders we can see that. There is a possibility that we may forget about our salvation also. That we can see in 1 Peter. That is the reason why we got the story of redemption in the form of manuscript. Praise the Lord. We got that. And it is our responsibility to read that over and over and over again. Over and over again. It is our responsibility to read each other. It is our responsibility to exhort from that each other. The story of redemption we got in the form of manuscript. I wanted to stop here, and before we go there, I want to read one more verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 7. Very, very familiar. The word of God, what we have got, it is breathed out by God. Breathed out. We can see the same word in the book of Genesis. God breathed into the nostril of Adam, and he became a living creature. Exactly same word used here. This word of God can give us life. This can give us life. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproof and correction and training in the righteousness. And the man of God may be complete. We can see the word complete in the book of Colossians. In him you are complete. In him you are complete. That is true. But we live in this world. We live in this flesh. We need correction. We need training. That's what the word of God is for. So that the man of God may be complete. I wanted to recap before we pray. Our salvation is so great. It is because we have a great Savior. Number two, the new covenant has a greater church. Number three, our salvation is so great. It is because it is provided by Triune God. Our salvation is so great. It is because, fourth reason, we got the story of redemption in the form of Manna's Secret. God willing, next week, we will be continuing on the same subject, the work of Triune God in the process of salvation. Shall we pray? Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, we thank you. Thank you for this time together to learn from thy Spirit. Thank you for this great salvation, such a great salvation. Thank you that we have a great Savior, great Shepherd who leads us and guides us and provides us everything we need. We were away from thee, we were enemies, we were hostile to thee, but you loved us and sought us and brought us into thy fold. And you seated us in heavenly places, such an exalted position. And we thank you for that. As we depart from here, we pray that you may continue to watch over and protect us and give us all the blessings from above. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you for listening to your prayers. In Jesus Christ's precious name.